It's 12 o'clock.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon or good morning, everybody, depending on what part of the country or the world you're listening in from. And welcome to Life Coach Chat here on the Life Coach Radio Network. I'm Mark Shaw, and today's episode is Help, I Really Want It, But It's Just Out of My Reach. I'm very excited to be working today with my two co-hosts, because I just think they're absolutely awesome. And I'm going to introduce you to them and tell you a little bit about who they are. So we've got Andrea Ruckelman, and I need to mute my computer because I'm getting feedback. There we go. Sorry about that. So we've got Andrea Ruckelman and Kathleen West. Andrea founded New Perspectives Communication, LLC, as a result of years of witnessing the effects of abusive, retaliatory style of bosses in the workplace. How many of us can relate to that? So by focusing on how you say it, Andrea's focus is to eliminate bosses and replace them with leaders who inspire instead. Andrea partners with companies and individuals who want a new perspective on how they communicate with others as well as themselves. She's an avid runner, snowboarder, slowly progressing golfer, and is willing to take on any physical challenge. Welcome, Andrea.
Thank you for having me here.
Oh, you're so welcome.
It's a pleasure. I'm definitely looking forward to today's topic.
Cool. Great. So good. Well, I'm so glad you're here. And then we have Kathleen West. She's the founder of K West Coaching and Every Woman's Coach. And as a life coach and personal development coach, she actually works with women and students who are moving from one phase of their lives to the other, individuals who want to reduce stress, define their life's purpose, work through issues that arise, self-discovery, put more balance and fun into their lives, and wish to accomplish goals with sustainable results. So welcome to the show, Kathleen.
Thank you, Mark. Very excited to be here.
Great. Well, it's really, really great to have you here. I'm real excited. I'm excited to be working with the two of you. So, again, my name is Mark Shaw, and I'm a life coach, certified life coach, and also a coaching instructor. So I actually also teach at IPEC, the Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching, actually where both my guests today have also received their coaching certifications. So I don't get to just coach, I also get to teach coaching, which I love more than anything. And I work with gay men who have one or more estranged family relationships so they can reconnect and create a whole new context of love and connection that never would have happened otherwise. That's on the personal development side, and on the corporate side, I also work with organizations and leaders to help inspire leaders to become inspiring leaders. So before I get to today's topic, I want to remind everybody of the call-in number. If you would like to call in and say hello and just share your thoughts on the topic or ask any questions that you might have. And, of course, our show format, since today is Friday, is Free Coaching Friday. So you may even get a little bit of free coaching from any one of us today when you call in. So the number to call in is 646-716-9397. 646-716-9397. We'd love to hear from you and have you call in. So great. We're glad that you're with us. And also before I get to the topic, I just want to share a funny little story that happened just a few moments ago that I think leads right into our topic pretty well. So as many of you may know, this is actually the first time that I'm actually hosting a radio show. So I'm a little nervous. So I went to make myself a cup of coffee, and I set everything up, and I push the button, and I leave the kitchen, and I'm doing some stuff, and I go to grab my cup of coffee moments before I'm supposed to be on the air, and I pour it, and clear water comes out instead of coffee. I forgot to fill the coffee basket with coffee. So immediately I went to that place of like, oh, no, what am I, an idiot? How am I going to do my show when I haven't had a cup of coffee yet? And it just dawned on me how that relates to today's topic. A lot of times, some of the things that keep things just out of our reach are these negative messages that we give ourselves, like, ugh, I'm such a jerk. I'm such a moron. I messed this up. I made a mistake again. I ruined it. And we kind of beat ourselves up when we make things that we call mistakes, which actually might not be really mistakes at all, but are rather learning opportunities. So that's one of the things that holds us back from getting what we want and therefore making things seem just out of our reach when we want them. So I'm not an idiot for forgetting to fill the coffee basket. I'm just a human being, or as the Saturday Night Live Stuart Smalley character used to say, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. So, you remember him? Wasn't he great? That was Al Franken's character. excuse me. So the topic today, again, is help. I really want it, and it's always just out of my reach. And we're actually going to share the four main things that get in our way of success and really hold us back and continue to hold us back in a place that is just out of reach of our goals. And both my guests today, Kathleen and Andrea, both have tremendous experience in helping their clients through those kinds of challenges, as do I. So we're going to be talking a lot about that. And so let's go ahead and get started. So the first of the four things that hold us back are something that are commonly known in the coaching world as well as in other worlds as limiting beliefs. So limiting beliefs, Kathleen, I'm actually going to open it up to you, and if you can talk a little bit about what limiting beliefs are and just, you know, what some of your experiences are either in your own life or in coaching some of your clients.
Sure. Be more than happy. For our listeners, what we define a limiting belief to be is something that you accept about life or yourself or about the world around you and the people that are in it that limits you in some way. There's several examples. For one, somebody might say to be successful, I'll need to work very long hours and to make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
How true is that for you? You know, success mm-hmm. is defined so differently for each individual. So that might be so true for one person, but not true for others. And it's all
right.
It's all how you perceive it. A woman who is getting married and decides to have children might have the belief that to be a really good mom, I need to stay home with the kids, and my life needs to revolve around all that aspect of, you know, being home, being flexible, being available, you know, having dinner on the table at a certain time. And so their belief is, to be a really good mom, I need to stay home with my children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
How true is that? And what we're finding is, as I speak to my clients and we ask these pertinent questions that make them really delve into their feelings and how they look at things, we're finding that these beliefs, a lot of them, are part of what they've grown up with and what they have seen and experienced as growing up. So if a woman's mother had stayed home, or even if she just had a part-time job when the children were in school, most of her life did revolve around her kids. So the daughter's probably in her head going, well, you know, to be a really great mom as my mom was, then I need to stay home too. And that's where their mm-hmm. belief comes from. Or if the father worked a lot of hours, you know, to make a lot of money, and he had some success within his business, the kids are thinking, or, you know, the person's thinking, well, you know, my dad did this, and to be successful, I have to do this also.
Yeah, so it sounds like, I'm sorry, it just sounds like, so from what you're saying, that limiting beliefs can come from so many places in the client's life, and it's usually somewhere in the past, something they've experienced. And what I really love is the question that you ask about, well, how true is that really? I'm wondering if you can speak to a little bit of the notion that the truth or the accuracy of the limiting belief or not. Because sometimes my understanding of limiting belief is that it could be a commonly held belief in the world that may actually be true in many cases. So for example, you're working with a woman who works in financial services, and she's feeling held back and can't get ahead, and she's operating from the belief that, well, it's a male-dominated industry, and women don't get ahead in the financial world. That may very well be accurate. So what do you say to a client, if you can comment on that a little bit, when the limiting belief, actually, they have evidence for it?
Well, they might have evidence for it. Then it's what can you do to move yourself forward within that career? It would be maybe talking to your boss and seeing what else you can do to help move yourself forward. Or it might be sometimes looking for another job in a different company that you know that you will have these steps available to you to grow and expand and move up the ladder.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a very difficult choice for some people to make,
Sure. Yeah, so I know one of the things I often ask my clients is, so, regardless of the accuracy of that belief and the evidence for it, does it have to be true for you? Because there are women that get ahead in financial services regardless of what the facts say. What would it take for you to be one of those women? So it's not really about, and this is what I explain to clients, it's not really about the accuracy of the belief. It's about if you hold it in a way that holds you back, it's going to limit you.
Right.
And they can hold
it differently. Then it becomes an assumption. Because,
yes,
you're assuming that this is how it's going to be because it's happened before.
Yes, yes.
Perfect, so
which is a perfect.
The thing is, how true is that belief to you, and then how does it affect you?
Sure, absolutely. That's great, Kathleen. And, you talked about assumptions, which is the belief that because something happened in the past, it's going to occur that way again. Like, I already know this is going to turn out. And it's a perfect segue to the second of the four things that hold us back. So I'm actually going to turn it over to Andrea. And if you can comment a little bit on the notion of assumptions, Andrea.
Oh, great. Thank you, Mark. Before we get into talking about assumptions, would you mind if I just shared one story in my experience about a perfect example of what a limiting belief is and how we work through it with a client?
Mm-hmm.
It was during one of my training sessions about what kind of boss are you? Are you a boss or are you a leader? And during this training session, an individual got up and walked out of the training session and was crying. And when I was doing the references to the abusive, intimidating, retaliatory style of bosses and how they behave, he said that that was the characteristics of himself, and he believed he needed to turn in his resignation. And when asking him, why do you think you need to turn in your resignation, he says, I'm too old to change. You can't teach a new an old dog new tricks. And basically, I asked him, well, how true is that? Do you want to change, or do you want to continue down the same path you're going? And he had said to me, he's like, I would love to change, but I just don't know how. And over the course of a couple of months, we worked very closely with this individual, and he went from being one of those people that lacked trust from his employees, seemed to have no integrity as a view and perception from his employees, to become one of the greatest respected, looked up to individuals in his organization because he chose to take the time to admit to his mistakes and listened to what people had to say.
Yeah.
Which is one of the most difficult things you see in leaders, for people that are bosses, to admit to their mistakes. And so by that example, he overcame what you would call a limiting belief. You can teach an old dog a new trick.
Yeah, that's such a great example. That's such a great example. And it also shows you the power of being able to uncover someone's limiting belief and really address it. And break it down. And the power in that is just enormous. What a transformation. That's great. That's great work.
Mm-hmm.
It's great work.
When we talk about as going into assumptions, when you think about assumptions, everyone makes them. But they're not this type of assumption is not what you would generally call, I'm going to assume. What it is it's basically a thought process that I've tried it before, I failed, I've tried it again, I failed, and it's based on past experience that you believe you are not going to be successful based on all those past experiences. When working with a client of mine who was interested in trying to, let's say, run a race, and this is one of my favorite examples that is outside my realm of leadership development, but it's actually, when I think about it, making this individual a leader of her own life. She was under the assumption because she was overweight, she wouldn't be able to run a half marathon because she's tried it before, she can't breathe, it hurts too much, and she just always failed. And when we're talking through some of this is, what are you doing? And looking through the process that brought her through to the thoughts of failure, how could you change it? What can you do differently? And how could you monitor what you're doing? So needless to say, in the end of that story, not only did she race in her half marathon, but she also lost 20 pounds along with it. So it was just a wonderful aspect to be able to see how you change your mind, understanding what is it that occurred in the past, how are you emotionally attached to that moment of failure, and why do you let it rule your life and your decision-making instead of erasing the chalkboard and figuring out a new path?
Mm-hmm. That's really terrific. That's really terrific. And you know, so what becomes evident the more we understand these notions, particularly limiting beliefs, assumptions, and the other things that we'll get to, is that basically these are things that take energy to keep in place. For me to keep looking at what I'm afraid of isn't going to work. For me to keep looking at the past and going, yeah, I know how this is going to turn out, because, look, every other time this has happened, right? So we're looking in the past. Or if we have a limiting belief, we might be thinking, well, you know, it's not going to work because of this kind of thing that I believe. Our energy is either going in the past or into the future. And then there's not a lot left to engage in the present to really pursue whatever it is we're up to, because the energy is draining out of these two holes at either end of the bucket. And really, the only place we can really direct our energy and have an impact is right now. So the more our energy is directed to the past or to the future, the less we have for right now. And then we only reinforce the failure, because we actually generate the failure because of the belief, because of the assumption. But it doesn't look like we've generated it because of those things. It actually ends up looking like we've proven what we already knew to be the truth. Because then when we fail and we don't get it, we go, see, it didn't work. I was right. Without realizing that, no, we actually generated it not working because of these things in place. So that's great, and I love the stories about some of your client transformations around breaking up some of these things and really helping folks to look at them. I know when I work with my clients, it's just such a joy to see that stuff just get blown away and watch the client really move forward. It's really just beautiful. So we've got limiting beliefs and we've got assumptions. I just want to say to the caller that is on hold, we do have some folks on hold, actually. We will be getting to your questions. Just hang on. We're going to get through some of this stuff first, and then we'll begin to open it up and take some questions. So I want to actually stick with you, Andrea, for a few moments for the third one. And then for the fourth one, I'm going to go back to Kathleen. Interpretations. interpretations. So, Andrea, can you talk about a little bit about interpretations and what are they in coaching? How do they show up with our clients?
Interpretations are something that's really a lot of fun to think about. You know, it's when you take a look at a situation and based on what you think you see is occurring, you're interpreting it in a certain way that if you're not achieving that goal, it's working for you to not move forward. So you're interpreting it as, I'll say, the best example is if someone wants to get a new job and say the job description requires a certain degree and they don't feel that they have the ability to apply for that position because they don't have the degree. So they're interpreting what's written down as something that they're not going to be able to achieve. And so, again, it comes down to breaking down that situation. Do you really know that that's the truth? Have you even tried? What would you like to do? If you don't try anything, of course you're not going to get anything out of it. But what would the effects be if you did? At least you're trying. And so with individuals in that kind of situation of changing a job, you take a look at this and you help them really get down to the bottom of it. Once they start with the whole fact of, well, I don't have that degree. It's not going to work for me. And then they all of a sudden start beating themselves up about not having a degree or they're not good enough. And so it starts typing into some other areas of why we don't achieve. But if they take that time to say, what can I do to get there? Let me change the direction of where I'm going and how I'm thinking. Okay, maybe I don't have the degree. But what is it going to hurt if at least I try? Maybe I could get in. Maybe I could have a conversation during the interview that shows all of my experience. May not require that degree to be there. Maybe I have enough experience to show how well I could perform at that job. Mm. And these are situations that occur all the time.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, you know, if I can, I'm going to share an example, too, of an interpretation once. I was with a group of guys. We were out at a restaurant, and it was really funny. One of the guys that was with us was blind, and, of course, the waitress did not have any way of knowing that. And she comes along, and it was a very friendly, social kind of show place kind of restaurant. So she comes over to introduce herself, and she's shaking hands with each one of us. And, you know, she's like, you know, hi, I'm Nancy, and we're shaking hands, hi, Nancy. And she gets to him, she puts her hand in front of him and extends it for a handshake. So, hi, I'm Nancy. And he just sits there because he didn't realize she was talking to him and he couldn't see her hand. So he just sits there and doesn't respond. And she gets all huffy and she goes, oh, well, excuse me. And she walks away from the table. So I figured I'd better go and explain. So I went over to her and I said, I have to explain something to you. I'm really sorry. She goes, no, sir, you really don't need to. It's really fine. I said, no, there's something that you need to know. She goes, sir, I've been a waitress for a very long time. I'm fine. I don't need the apology. I was like, wow. So I said, you really need to hear me out here. He's blind. And she was like, oh, really? I said, yes. And she felt really bad. She runs over. She gives him a big hug and an apology, and she gave him free drinks all night. her interpretation of why of what happened in that moment, what she made up in her head about him not responding to her offer of a handshake, was that he was snooty or judged her in some way or didn't like her or was just a jerk. Until she realized, well, no, the real reason was he had no idea that she extended her hand to him. So that's an example of an interpretation. And how could that have really worked against her? Okay, is that if I didn't go and clean that up and she kind of carried that around, her interactions with particularly him and even the rest of the table the entire night would have been much, much less positive, and it would have been reflected in her tip because we wouldn't have had such a great time. So there's an example of how creating an interpretation and responding to it as though it's the truth without thinking it through, without questioning what else might be going on here, could really limit us.
How often do you see that happen between friends, too? They often misinterpret what somebody is saying and take it one way, and it starts a big fight before they even realize when they finally get down to the bottom of it. It's always a, oh, my God, I had no idea that that's what you were saying. I completely took it wrong.
Right.
And that usually happens. You know, it's funny because I have the same kind of silly story. I went to go donate blood, and someone came out of the truck and was just shook their head and was like, oh, my God. And we were thinking, like, wow, it must be really bad in there. Maybe the people aren't nice. Maybe we shouldn't give blood. What might it be? But it turned out as we walked in, the gentleman was actually coming out looking at the line of people saying, oh, my God, there's a lot of people out here in excitement for us to donate blood. And he actually worked there. So he had gone into the back of the mobile delivery. And so this woman and I were having this whole conversation about, well, what does this mean? What's the oh, my God, does it look bad in there? And so he just completely interpreted that situation as something scary. And he was saying it is in something, this is wonderful.
Right. Sure. Oh, that's so great. Yeah. So before I get to the fourth thing that's in our way, which we'll spend a few minutes on, and then I'm going to open it up to callers. And actually, let me just remind everybody again of what the number is. If you'd like to call and chat with us, you can give us a call at 646-716-9397. 646-716-9397 is the Free Coaching Friday hotline. So feel free to give us a call, and let's hear your thoughts on these things. And so, again, we'll get to your calls in just a few minutes. And let's talk a little bit about the fourth thing. Oh, actually, before we even get to that, let me tell you what shows are coming up this week, since we're at about the midpoint of our broadcast today. So we've got some really, really great shows here on the Life Coach Radio Network that are coming up this week. So what we've got on Monday, next Monday at 10 p.m., we have Frank Talk, Rock Bottom is a Beautiful Start. And basically this is a show that speaks about how you can really start from anywhere and create change in your life. It's a frank discussion on the principles needed to create lasting change. So a lot of times people show up for coaching because they've hit rock bottom in their lives. And that's a real opportunity for growth and for a shift. It's really just about making the commitment to do so. So Frank Talk is all about the art and science of building a beautiful, meaningful life on your terms. So again, that's Frank Talk, and that's on Monday night at 10 p.m. And then the next show that I want to kind of call everyone's attention to is Fun to Fortune with Coach Jeff. So we invite everybody to join the conversation with those who've created fun businesses and uncovered their fortune in the process. So people, callers, and guests will share inspiration. They'll share their business and what makes it fabulous, the challenges and the obstacles, and what helps them persevere and prosper. So those are some really great shows that we have that are coming up. I invite you all to tune into those, and I think you'll find those enjoyable, inspiring, and helpful. So let's go to the fourth thing that gets in our way and holds us back from success before we take some calls. That fourth thing is known worldwide in the coaching world. So those of you who are our listeners who are coaches, many of you are, you'll be well familiar with this topic. Those of you who are not coaches and are calling in because you're interested in coaching or self-development and self-growth, you may have heard of this topic, and it's the idea of gremlins. Gremlins. So gremlins are basically those little sabotaging animals that mess everything up. So I'm going to actually turn it over to Kathleen to talk about how gremlins show up in our lives and hold us back and what they're really a metaphor for. So Kathleen, let's come back to you and hear what you've got to say about that.
Oh, gremlins, they're all over the place, and they're in your head. And
they travel in packs, don't they?
Oh, my gosh, yes. And sometimes they can be helpful because you should pay attention to them, because they are trying to tell you something. But a lot of times they do keep us from doing things and accomplishing stuff that we really want to do. It's a little voice in your head that says, oh, don't do that because you'll get hurt. Or don't try that. You're overweight, you're not going to be good with it. You're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not. And we are our own worst critics, And if we allow them to take control, we will absolutely achieve nothing in our lives. And they keep us from being motivated and moving forward and learning new things. And they could just really stilt your life if you allow them to. So,
yeah,
you know, when we have clients who have this block, and many of us do, you know, we ask them, you know, why do you feel this way? How does it make you feel when this comes up? You know, what's happening? And, you know, sometimes it's very deep. It's very deep. Somebody might want to lose weight, but they watched their father who was a parent who was, you know, a healthy individual and, you know, a burly person. And as he got sick, you know, their interpretation of it is, well, you know, if he didn't have that extra weight on him, he wouldn't have lasted as long as he did. Okay? So my fear is, which is a gremlin's fear, is that if I lose the weight, what happens if I get sick and then I don't have that extra weight to last me longer? People think of all different types of things to not do something and to hold themselves back. And it's part of your gremlin. It's part of that voice, that inner critic in your head that says, stop, don't do that.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. So it actually, it keeps you playing small by keeping you fearful is kind of what I hear you saying.
Yes, yes. And you can be fearful. It's insecurity. It's, you know, playing the victim. You know, it's, you know, as I said, you're not enough. You're not good enough, not smart enough, not attractive enough. It keeps you unmotivated at times. You know, you can be, you just don't move forward. Move forward to all the joys that life has to offer you. You don't take advantage of them because you're in that place where you're unsure to step ahead because you have that fear of the unknown or you know, what if it doesn't work out, you know, the way I want it to. And you're not letting the inspirational voice or your intuition voice that says, go ahead, go to it. Because even if it doesn't work out the way that you wanted it to do, you did it. You gave it a try. Look at how great that is.
Yeah.
So I personally tell my clients to give their gremlin a name and confront it, you know, with a, I'm glad you're here because you do advise me and help me out on some things, but I can take it from here.
Yeah.
And I'm going
to
be the person I want to be, and you're not going to stop me from being it.
That's so great because, you know, those are the messages that we get held back by. And to relate it a little bit to my story about my coffee before, it's like little things like that. They drive up the gremlins. It's like the gremlins are sitting there waiting to prove to you that you're a moron. And they're waiting to prove to you that you're not good enough and that you're going to fail, so just don't try. And any little thing that happens, like, oh, I forgot to put coffee in the basket. I'm such an idiot. And the gremlins, they wake up. They're like, yes. And it's like they're now going to get fed. They're going to be saying, see, you can't even make a decent cup of coffee. You know, or see, it's such a, how simple is it to make a cup of coffee? You do it every morning. What are you, an idiot? You know, look at these gremlins start. Now, that's not a real significant example of one that's going to hold me back in my life, but it's a minor example of how they can show up every day, even in the smallest things. I think a more profound example is a friend of mine. Who's actually written a book about his experiences, which is just amazing. He talks in his book about the black cloud that has always followed him around and sabotaged everything he tried to do in his life. His family was worried about him. I mean, they all thought, like, what's going to become of him? And it's such an amazing story of trial to triumph, you know, because he is now a motorcycle cop in Fairfax County, Virginia. And he's incredible because he is not just a motorcycle cop, but he is an award-winning, recognized in his field and in his department, high-achieving, you know, medals and stars and all that great stuff. And it's really great. And I did invite him to call in, so I hope that he will. His book about this, and basically what he's talking about with the black cloud, is those are his gremlins. You know, those are his gremlins. He talks in his book about how things were going fine, and then he was on the highway on his motorcycle. Somebody stopped short in front of him at just the moment he was checking his rearview mirror or something, and he ends up skidding into the car and almost getting run over by a truck behind him. And even in that moment, and he almost got killed. And even in that moment, he talks in the book about how he wished he would have died. At that time, he was wishing he would have died and just not had to deal with this anymore. Because he's like, I just can't get ahead. I'm a loser. I'm a moron. And how this always showed up for him. His book is called Billy's Never Ending Battle. And his name is William G. Brett. Amazing book. I highly recommend it. It's such a great read. I read it on the plane on my way out to the West Coast on a business trip, and I was in tears in so many moments of it that the flight attendant came over to me at one point. She's like, sir, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm just reading this really amazing book. And I wanted to give her the book, but I wanted to finish reading it. And what's great is he calls it Billy's Never-Ending Battle because his idol all his life, from when he was a kid and even now, is Superman. And I swear if he can get away with wearing a red cape today, he would do it. So it's Billy's Never-Ending Battle as in Superman's fight for the never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way. And he has no ego in it. It all comes from a place of service. So I'm going to have him on a future show, actually, but I just wanted to kind of, as we're talking about gremlins, he just showed up for me as such a perfect example of how gremlins can really keep us down and get in our way. So Billy's Never-Ending Battle by Billy Brett, Creating a Wonderful Life with Imagination and Purpose. So great. So how about we take some calls and see what's going on out there in people's minds?
Sure.
So let's see. I'm going to open up this person's microphone, calling, I believe, from a New Jersey phone number. How are you today? Hello? I see that you're still there. Somebody calling from a 973 area code. Oh, I was all excited that we had a caller. Are you there?
We might have a guest just listening by the phone and not have a question, because there is the capabilities for our listeners to dial in and just listen to our show by their phones.
Ah, very cool. See, I didn't even know that. That's one of the struggles of being new, huh? Okay, cool. So perhaps that person is just listening. And now they... Oh, they're muted.
Are muted again.
Yeah.
Mark, may I share, you know, some experiences when we're talking about gremlins as well? Because this is
Absolutely.
Something that is huge when it comes to leadership development. In my experience with my coaching practice as it relates to bosses versus leaders, what I often find is those in the boss mentality have their own gremlin that is showing up. When you see people that get promoted into jobs without the proper training because they do a good job themselves, a new gremlin usually pops up of, I have to prove I'm worthy enough of this promotion and what this job is. So when they get the responsibility of having to have employees report to them, they're now focused on not only themselves and having to prove themselves, but now what does it mean to have all these people that are working for them? And so when they're more concerned about what their management thinks of them, they start focusing on in a fear-based, gremlin way of, I have to prove I'm worthy. If I cannot do this, they may not see me as good enough to do this job. So we often find that a boss in their mentality manages upwards. They look towards their upper management to show that they're doing a good job. Look what I can do. But to the people that are working for them, there tends to be this lack of inspiration that goes to them. How do you show the employees inspiration? Recognition. Show those folks that are working for you that they're just as important as you are. Grow them. Remove their gremlins. Think about that. As a supervisor, you have an opportunity to remove any gremlin, any assumption, any interpretation, any limiting belief that an employee has by showing your appreciation for what they're doing for you, for sharing with them experiences, for opening yourself up to hear what they have to say. You have that opportunity to not only show what you're made of and show how worthy you are, you have that opportunity to show all those who work for you how worthy they are. And when you become a leader, you become a remover of gremlins. So you have, it's how are you going to show up? When your gremlin attacks you and pops up in your life, you have that opportunity to say, why are you here? And when we break down understanding why is that gremlin here, what is our fear? Being able to turn it around and make a difference not only in our own lives, but in those around us is such an incredible power to have.
Yeah, it really is. That's great. And, you know, so for some of our callers who are out there who aren't too familiar necessarily with the coaching world, because some of you are very new to what coaching is, just to provide some clarification, some coaches work in the business and leadership realm, coaching people, coaching managers, business leaders, and then some coach in the personal realm, in the personal development area. So that's why our examples are kind of going back and forth between the two. And I actually work in both, and there's an organization that I've been working with for a bit of time now, in the hospitality industry. Some of my clients are in the hospitality industry. And before we started working with them, before they had a management change, which was before we started working with them, the way that they were managed was this old-fashioned, top-down, do this because I say so or you're out of here kind of leadership. I won't even call it leadership. Kind of management.
Boss.
And people were managed by fear. They're managed by fear. What happens in that environment is it kicks up all the gremlins because every time they're about to do something, they're afraid to take action because the gremlin's going, you know you're going to get in trouble if it doesn't work out. And that cripples business. It cripples business because as business leaders, we want people to feel inspired to take action and be creative in their thinking. And we want to create a safe learning environment where people can make decisions. And if it doesn't work out, then it's a learning opportunity that everybody learns from and the organization continues to grow. Otherwise, we have high turnover, low motivation, and it costs the company hugely, hugely. And there are some leaders that don't get that, because they've had bosses that have managed them that way, and that's what they've learned. And they're crippling their business by really driving up people's gremlins by ruling with fear.
And think about how many times have you ever heard the, oh, don't worry, you'll get used to him. That's just the way they are.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
It's so true.
In the workplace atmosphere, that is not a way to motivate people, you know, by the threatening of do this or you won't have a job. How you stifle innovation, and you see companies fall apart because they have no more innovation, only because they're stuck in a certain way and nobody wants to allow others to succeed.
Right, absolutely.
And when you have a manager or a boss that listens to you as the employee and gives you the respect that you deserve because you are working very hard for them and acknowledges your productivity and your inspiration and your thoughts, it makes your employee more, I'm not going to say, I don't want to say workable, but they enjoy coming to work. They look forward to being within that working environment. You're going to get more productivity out of them because they're going to enjoy. There's going to be less mistakes. There's going to be, you know, less, you know, frustration and, you know, and, you know, backstabbing and everything within that group because they all get along and they're going to work as a team because they're going to work for you because they like you. They respect you being there for them. They will go out of their way to do just that little bit more so that you look good in the upper echelon's eyes because you're doing a good job for them. I do find that sometimes, though, managers curtail to the upper establishment because they are being looked after, and they do have a fear of losing their job if they do not, you know, curtail to what is expected in a certain way, you know. So, you know, it is very hard. They are between a rock and a hard place sometimes. It's very difficult for them.
You also wonder how, when they feel that way in work, how do they bring it home for them? And what is it? How does it affect them in their home life and what they do and other decision-making that they do? One of my favorite things is someone had once asked me, why do I choose workplace bullying as opposed to working with children? And I say, because in the workplace, you're working with adults that can make the choice to stop. Because when they go home and they're talking about certain employees or certain language that they use when they're talking to their spouse or significant other, they might be using language that their children are hearing in the other room because kids hear everything.
Right.
And so
right.
I believe bullying starts in the home. Parents may not be doing it to their children, but the children hear it. And so when kids go and see each other and Tommy pushes little Johnny down on the ground, now little Johnny doesn't feel good enough to deserve his friendship, you start gremlins all the way at childhood. They exist
right.
in us from the very beginning.
And then as a strategy for dealing with the gremlins of not feeling good enough, then that child has to make someone else feel not good enough even more so. So then they'll go and do something else and bully somebody else sometimes just to pump up their own sense of value and worth. And that happens with kids. It happens with adults. You know, oftentimes the manager that's bullying is being bullied from above.
Exactly.
Right.
You know.
Mark, it looks like
we have
a caller here that wants to chime in here, this 646 number.
Excellent. I'm
going
to pick that up. Yep. Hello, caller. What do you want to talk about?
Hi, this is Hey Chelt.
Hi, how are you,
Hi.
Hey Chelt?
Good. Well, that's my name on the Blog Talk Radio, but my name is Chelsea.
Hey,
and
Chelsea.
I'm a new coach. And Mark was actually my instructor, which is really exciting to hear him on this call.
It's great that you're calling in.
I think it's really informative, and I think it's also good to know that coaches need coaches because I think I have gremlins and limiting beliefs as well. I think they're really pesky, and they really stick around, and it takes a lot of work and a lot of talking to get through them.
Yeah, it really does. You know, Chelsea, it'd be great if you can comment a little bit about in class last weekend. So actually, Chelsea just finished her program at IPEC, and she was one of my star students. So if you can comment a little bit, Chelsea, in general, or as much as you might want to share, the gremlin exercise that we did in the training this past weekend, what do you see in it as possible and its value in it in helping clients wrestle with their gremlins?
I thought that the biggest part of that gremlin exercise, just understanding that our gremlins originally were there to help us with something. It's although what happens is that it keeps you small and it keeps you from playing big and doing things that you would really like to do in your life, its original purpose is to keep you safe. So don't jump out there and play big, you know, just stay home and stay safe. It's like a survival tactic. it helps you survive, but sometimes we overgeneralize, and mm-hmm. that survival really holds us back from making the decisions or taking the steps that would actually help us in our lives or help us to feel better.
Yeah, definitely. That's so true. And I'm so glad you got that out of the exercise. You get an A. yeah, that's so great. That's so great. Well, thank you. Thank you, Chelsea, for calling in. I really appreciate it and loved what you had to say. And you're going to be such an awesome coach, and I'm just really, really glad that that you're putting yourself out there, and you are going to make an impact in a lot of people's lives. So
thanks
so much. You're welcome. Thanks so much for calling in.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Ah, you're welcome. Take care, Chelsea. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
So, you know, it's so interesting what Chelsea talked about the gremlin being there really to protect us at one point. And I knew a woman once who was leading a seminar that I was participating in. There were about 200 people in the room. And she told this story. She told us that she had a terrible fear of public speaking, and it was a big gremlin that she was going to get laughed off the stage, and she could never get in front of a room of people ever and talk. And it was really amazing because she said that after doing some work around that, what she learned was that the gremlin was formed at a time when she was about 8 years old. She was in a school play, and she did Peter Pan, and she got to be one of the kids that flies. And the flying mechanism got stuck, and they couldn't get her down, and she was hanging upside down. And they closed the curtain so that they can get her down, and they stopped the show. And the little boy that operated the curtain thought it would be really, really funny to open the curtain and let the whole school see her hanging there upside down crying. So he did, and she was mortified because everybody was just erupting into laughter because it's an auditorium full of little kids, and that looks funny to them. And she was just mortified, and basically that's when she made the decision, never again will I ever do anything like, I will never put myself in that position again. And what that is that's the gremlin holding her back, convincing her to stay afraid by saying, yeah, they are going to laugh at you if you ever get up there. Don't do it. And the gremlin is actually trying to protect her from getting hurt. That's what the gremlins do. They're so afraid that we're going to get hurt. So they whisper their own fears into our ears and hold us back. Really what happens is, you know, then life goes on, life moves on, and the gremlin doesn't get the memo that we're not in that situation anymore and we're not 8 years old anymore. And it still tries to hold us back because it doesn't know anything. It doesn't know any better. Almost like the little kid, you know, mommy's going on an airplane to go away, and the little kid's like, no, 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 mommy, and trying to hold her back. The plane's going to crash. You can't get on that plane. Please don't go. Don't leave me. And starts to try to scare her into staying behind. That's kind of how the gremlin works, and it can hold us back from our biggest dreams, our biggest goals, and really, you know, sabotage our life. And do either of you guys know where the concept of gremlins originated? And it wasn't the Steven Spielberg movie. It's actually where he got the idea.
No, actually, I do not.
No,
it's actually really cool. A lot of people don't know this. That's why I always ask this question, and 90% of people say no, and I never thought about it. It was a World War II concept. When World War II airplanes would crash or malfunction and they couldn't find the reason for the malfunction, they would just say, well, gremlins must have gotten into the engine. And gremlins were these invisible monsters that sabotaged and wrecked things. So Steven Spielberg kind of personified them by creating a little creature, the little mogwai that, you know, turns into a gremlin if you get him, if you feed him after midnight. They multiply when you get them wet. And they become gremlins if you feed them after midnight, and they're no longer these cute little adorable creatures that go mogwai. They become these sorts of things. So we've taken the concept in coaching that gremlins are those, they show up in our lives and they sabotage us and they wreck things for us that we're up
and
to.
They do multiply. They do
they
multiply.
They sure do.
One on top of the other to the point where you can feel suffocated because you can't move forward and you're missing out on so much.
Yeah.
So much.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So as we begin to wrap, because we're about 6 minutes to the hour, I would like to hear, oh, and a caller just dialed in. Do we have time? Let's take the call real quick with whatever time we have left. Okay, so from Long Island, or at least the phone number is from Long Island, go ahead.
Mark, it's Mark Mouton.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
Mark, I'm doing very well. Thank you. No, I'm listening to the program today, and I was struck by the thought of the ripple effect that gremlins have. Just recently, earlier this week, I had the privilege of observing our New York State legislature. And during the session, there was talk of a legislator who recently passed away, but they were celebrating his life. And one of the points that so many of his colleagues were describing of him was his willingness to be respectful and communicate. And as I'm listening today to the program, I realize how our gremlins actually get in our way of effectively communicating what is important. And as a result, we don't get to deliver our message, and we're not working effectively with others. And in the context of government, in the context of our families and our work, it just has an enormous ripple effect if our gremlins are getting in our way and preventing us from living as largely as we have the capacity to live. So I just wanted to share that.
Great. It's a really great comment, and it's dead on. Thanks so much for calling in, Mark. I really appreciate it. It's good to hear your voice.
Same here, Mark. Be well.
Okay. Yeah, so, yeah, Mark's point, very, very, very well taken. You know, we each have a message. We each have a purpose, and the gremlin stops us from really being able to get it out there. So, so great. So as we wrap, I would like to ask each of you, let's start with you, Kathleen, any closing thoughts and closing remarks you have about today's topic, maybe closing words of wisdom for our listeners, and then how can people get in touch with you if they'd like to?
My closing thoughts for my listeners is that your adventure is your life, and each individual, all of us, we're all so unique to the way we live, but take chances. Tell your gremlin to be quiet for a little while and reach for the stars. You only have one life to live. Make the most of it. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. What is the worst? You fall down, you scrape, set yourself off, you get back up again, and you try again. It's in the process of the learning that your adventure is, that your journey is. So, you know, don't be afraid to take that chance. Ever.
Great.
So, and
that's such a great message. So, how can people reach you and follow you if they want? You want to give us your website and Twitter and stuff?
I don't have a website or Twitter yet, but it will be coming. I promise. I'm working
cool.
on it. But you can get me in Facebook through Quest Coaching on Facebook or Every Woman's Coach, and it's Quest is KWEST. It's for my first and last name, coaching. And then I'm on Facebook. I'm on and off all the time. I check in every day. So you can instant message me and I will get back to you, you know, within a couple hours. But
excellent.
Plus coaching and Every Woman's Coach on Facebook.
Very cool. So KWEST coaching, Quest Coaching, and that's your first initial and your last name. Very cool. And
yeah.
I mispronounced it at the top of the call. I apologize. So Quest,
well,
I love that. That's
fine.
So great.
That's
so
fine.
Great. And Andrea, closing thoughts on your end on today's topic.
Sure. What I really want people to take away from all of our conversation today is ask yourself why. Why are you having the thought you're having? And based on the four things we discussed, limiting beliefs, assumptions, interpretations, and gremlins, ask yourself till you get to the bottom of why and challenge that why. Figure out another path to help you get to where you want to go. And if you need any help in reaching that goal, you can reach me in multiple different ways. you can go to my website, which is newperspectivescommunication.com. You could reach me through Twitter. My handle is @howyousayit. You can reach my Facebook page, which is New Perspectives Communication LLC. And you could also find me on LinkedIn, which is also New Perspectives Communication LLC. I would love to hear you from you. I would love to work with you because goal attainment is something that I enjoy immensely helping people get to. So thank you very much for today, Mark. I really enjoyed it. And thank you to our callers and all those who are participated on the chat.
Great, great. Thank you, Andrea. Thank you both for being here. And let me also just say, since I gave Chelsea the spotlight a little bit there too, Mark is also a coach, and I know he's also incredibly inspiring to work with. So thank you again, Mark and Chelsea, for calling in. And if you'd like to reach me, I'm also reachable in a couple of ways. My website is www.markshall.com, and that's Mark with a K, M-A-R-K, last name S-C-H-A-L-L, like Dr. Scholl's Foot Products, but with an A instead of an O, www.markshall.com. You can also find me on Facebook at Mark Scholl Coaching, and I've got my Facebook page up there. You can also follow me on Twitter. My Twitter name is Mark Scholl. And where else? There was one other. And now I just can't seem to remember it. But LinkedIn, of course. So feel free to find me on LinkedIn, and in your invitation to connect, just please make sure that you let me know that you heard me on the Life Coach Radio Network. So great. So again, special thanks to both of you, Kathleen and Andrea. Great conversation today. Thanks to all our listeners. There was quite a bit of activity in the chat room, so there were a lot of people there, and the people that called in. And we really had quite a bit of listening going on. And maybe some of you are listening to this later than the actual broadcast because you've downloaded it. In which case, I hope it was really, really valuable for you as well. So again, be sure to tune in. We have one show every single day here that is coaching and self-development related. Every day there is a show on Blog Talk Radio, on the Life Coach Radio Network, that's related to coaching. So they're all listed on our page. And you can also like the Life Coach Radio Network fan page on Facebook, and you'll also get announcements and notices and links to calls and other really, really great stuff.
And our Twitter handle is also Coach Host Radio.
Oh, thank you. I forgot about that. Yes, so you can follow us on Twitter at Coach Host Radio. And for those of you who aren't coaches, if you really, really want to start getting past your gremlins and your assumptions and your limiting beliefs, your interpretations, and really start getting where you want in your life and not have things so far out of reach, my recommendation is that you work with a certified coach. And there are so many really great coaches out there, in addition to the three of us who are available to you. Just go ahead and search for folks, and it's really, really great. And we're all available to you. So signing off, wishing everybody the best and all the good luck in pursuing their goals, I'm Mark Scholl. Thanks for listening today.